Well, good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas and welcome to church. My name is Albie. I'm the minister here at Barney's, and it's lovely to have you here at Christmas time. It's great that we can come together to celebrate and also to continue to actually reflect about what Christmas means for us. Now, Ray's going to set up a screen, and when you've done that, can I get you to turn around so I can actually see what's on there? We all like good news. We all like good news. Sometimes there's moments that we just need good news. It just seems like there's bad news around us everywhere we look. You look through the headlines. I pulled out some this morning. Here's a few headlines from today. The US government goes into a shutdown. The atrocious acts that took place in Morocco. Storms in Queensland. A politician in trouble again. The world around us just seems to be full of bad news. And there's times that we need good news. And I think especially at Christmas time, at Christmas, we want there to be good news. Now, for some, Christmas time is a great time of the year. You're going away on holidays. You're catching up with family. You don't have to go to work. You don't have to pack your kids' lunches in the mornings. You've even managed maybe to buy all the presents. And Christmas time is great. But then for others, even some people here, Christmas time is mixed with a tinge of sadness when you're missing loved ones. Or this year, it's been tough. Now, whichever group you belong to, all of us want to hear good news. Isaiah chapter 9, that was read out for us, was written, as Joe said, 700 years before Jesus was born. It's written 700 years before the very first Christmas. And Isaiah chapter 9 is great news. Do you see how it starts off in verse 2? Verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. These people, they're living in the land of the shadow of death, and a light has dawned." Now, the people that Isaiah is speaking to, they are in the shadow of death. Not just one country, but two countries have just declared war on them, and they're terrified. For them, there is a darkness. You see, sometimes we can think of the Bible as being far away. It's kind of pie in the sky sort of stuff. It's not real life. But the Bible knows what life is like. And it knows that so often we are surrounded by darkness. A few days ago, Scott Morrison, he visited the Australian troops in Iraq. Scott Morrison was there and was talking about the sacrifice that the soldiers had made to be far away from their families during Christmas time. And from there, from Iraq, he was meant to go to Afghanistan. But that trip was cancelled because they decided it was too dangerous. The soldiers in Iraq, in Afghanistan, around the world, they know what it means to live in the shadow of death. They know what it means to be in darkness. And I suspect we do too. For us, the darkness is the death of someone who's close. For us, the darkness is the threat of terrorism. Someone who's in the family who is sick. Or it's being stressed with work or having problems with health or money. Or being in a relationship where things are broken. I wonder this morning, what is it that's troubling you? Maybe it's the darkness that has been casting a shadow over the entire year. Whatever it is, Isaiah 9 is talking to us. To people walking in darkness, there is a great light. Isaiah 9, for us, it is good news. There's the darkness of death, but actually there's another darkness that I think we need to get our heads around. There's the darkness of death, but there's also the darkness of turning our backs on God. And it's the darkness that we're all in. One of the great things about Christmas time is the presents. Now, I don't know what you're like when it comes to presents. You might be somebody who loves giving presents. You've got it all worked out, and you love to see the look on people's faces when they open it up. You might be somebody who hates giving presents, especially when you don't know what to get for that somebody. Now, I've been given a few strange presents in my lifetime. I won't mention what they are because maybe the people here have been the ones who've given it to me. But when someone gives you a present, you say thank you, don't you? You say thank you. We had to teach our children that when they received a present, you don't just rip it straight open and ignore the person in front of you because that would be rude. You've got to say thanks. You acknowledge the person. there is a God who has made this world. And he's given us everything we have. He's given us our family, our life, our health, the world around us. And ignoring God isn't just rude. It's turning our backs on the one who is the king. It's turning our backs on the one who's the judge, the boss of the universe. Turning your backs on the creator, well, there's judgment. And it's a darkness that all of us are in, the darkness of God's judgment. But that's why verse 2 is so good. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. It is wonderful news. It brings joy and peace in verses 3 to 5. And this is what the good news looks like. The good news is a baby. Verse 6, let me read that out. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Now, some babies are born with great expectations. Prince George, I suspect, is one of them. Prince George is only 5 years old, but he's the oldest child of William and Kate. Michael Bublé had a baby this year, and I suspect his daughter has great expectations. Maybe she'll grow up to be a singer just like her dad. The child in verse 6, there are huge expectations. This child is going to rule forever. We've been hearing about this child all morning, talking about Jesus. These words are written 700 years before Jesus is born because God wants to make it really clear who Jesus is. God doesn't want us to miss out on who this child is going to be. There are four titles to describe him. He's going to be the Wonderful Counselor. He has the wisdom of God. This child who's born here is completely different. He is Mighty God. He has the power of God. Everlasting Father, which for Isaiah would have been very confusing when he wrote this. How can the Everlasting Father, how can God be a baby? It doesn't make sense to Isaiah, to the people he's speaking to. It doesn't make sense until Jesus comes. And then we see God comes in the flesh. God comes in his Son, in Jesus. Jesus has the wisdom of God. Jesus has the power of God. Jesus does amazing things. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He calms a storm, just like we would lock the door, just like that. And the last title in verse 7, he is the Prince of Peace. Jesus comes to bring peace with God, because this is a peace that we can't do by ourselves. No matter how good you are, no matter how hard you try, maybe this year you've had a good year. And when you stack up the different columns, you've got the naughty column, you've got the nice column. And maybe this year you've got more things in your nice column than the naughty column. A lot of us think that makes us right with God, that gives us peace, that because of that we are in. And the Bible teaches all those good things that we do, that doesn't get us in. All those things that we do, it can't give us peace with God. But Jesus can. Just on Friday, a couple of days ago, I was coming home with Eva. Eva's our youngest. She's 5 years old. Eva got out of the car and she called out, "Easter egg." And I thought, you know, the cute little thing, she's got her holidays mixed up. But then she actually pointed to, on the ground, there was a little bit of green tinsel, and it was rolled up in a ball, and it did kind of look like an Easter egg. And so we started talking about Easter and Easter eggs, and it struck me a couple of days ago that she was spot on, whether she meant it or not. Because Christmas is absolutely tied up with Easter. Because the whole reason why Jesus came was to die. The goal of Christmas is Easter. That's where Christmas ends up. Because Jesus died on a cross. And he died on a cross to get rid of the darkness of death. He came back to life again. He defeats death. And he died to get rid of the darkness of turning our backs on God. Jesus died to take the punishment that we deserve so that we don't have to. He gets rid of the darkness. And what he leaves us is this picture of peace and joy in verse 5. A world of righteousness and justice where things are the way that they should be. You know, all those bad news stories, all those things are gone. No bad news of injustice. There is no terrorism. There's no suffering or sickness or death. There's no mourning or crying or pain. This is great news. Maybe this year you've had a good year. Maybe you've had a year that you just actually prefer to forget. Maybe you're actually worried about next year, what 2019 is going to look like. But the picture that God gives us in Isaiah 9, that is exactly what we need. There was a good news story a few weeks ago. It was in the papers. Kelsey Zwick had a baby who was less than a year old. She had a baby called Lucy. Now, Lucy was born premature. She had this chronic lung condition. And so Kelsey and Lucy, they had to keep flying over to Philadelphia to go to the children's hospital in order to get treatment. Now, when Kelsey got on the plane with her daughter, Kelsey had a diaper bag on one arm. She was pushing a stroller. She had to lug this oxygen machine for her daughter. She got on the plane, and when she was in her seat, a flight attendant came over and told her that a stranger wanted to switch seats with her. He took her seat, and he gave her his seat that was in first class. Kelsey didn't get a chance to say thanks to him properly. And so she posted it on Facebook to try to track him down in order to say thanks. This is what Kelsey wrote on Facebook. She said, "To the man in 2D," that was his seat number, "today you're traveling from Orlando to Philadelphia. I don't know you, but I imagine you saw us somewhere. The flight attendant came over and told me you were waiting to switch seats. You were giving up your comfortable first-class seat to us." Not able to hold back tears, I cried my way up the aisle while my daughter Lucy laughed. I smiled and thanked you as we switched, but didn't get to thank you properly. So thank you, not just for the seat itself, but for noticing. I can't wait to tell Lucy someday. Now, when I read that, I thought that was a beautiful story. It is good news that we just don't hear enough of. That is what God's love is like. God's love is great news. Christmas is God sending his Son to save us. Jesus takes our place and we take his. Except Jesus doesn't take our seat in economy. He takes our brokenness and he takes our sin, the judgment that we deserve. He takes our darkness. And he doesn't just give us a seat in first class. He gives us his light. He gives us his kingdom. He gives us the right to be friends with God. It is great news. Now I guess Kelsey, she could have said no to the offer. She could have actually turned her back on that seat. And we can say no as well. We can walk away and we can ignore who Jesus is, or we can think to ourselves, this God stuff, I'm going to do it maybe a couple of times of the year. But then we go on living as if God doesn't make a difference and we stay in our darkness. Or we can look into what it is that God is offering us. Christianity Explored is a great way to do that. Keep coming along to church. In the busyness of everything that is happening, we can look at what God is offering us and we can be amazed. And we can say yes to the best news there is. To us a child is born. God has given us a son. God has given us his son. The son who gives us light and peace and life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks for Christmas time. We thank you for the celebrations that it is, for the fun and the festivity. And we thank you, Lord, for the meaning that it brings. That at the end of the day, it is about your Son breaking into our world. We thank you for these great promises that you made 700 years before Jesus was even born, which tells us who he is. That he is the wonderful counselor. He is mighty God. He is God come in the flesh. He is the Prince who gives us peace. And we give you thanks and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.